Our sermon for the week of October 20th, 2024, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 12, and verses 19 through 23. And the theme of our sermon is, what does freedom have to do with love? From 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What soldier ever serves at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat some of its fruit? Or who takes care of a flock and does not drink milk from the flock? Am I saying this just from a human point of view? Doesn't the law also say this? Yes, it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out grain. Is God really concerned about oxen? Or does he say this entirely for our sake? Yes, it was written for our sake, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in hope of getting a share. If we sowed spiritual seed for your good, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have some right to make this claim on you, don't we even more? But we did not use this right. Instead, we endure everything so as not to cause any hindrance for the gospel of Christ. In fact, although I am free from all, I enslaved myself to all, so that I may gain many more. To the Jews I became like a Jew, so that I may gain the Jews. To those who are under the law, I became like a person under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, I became like a person without the law, though I am not without God's law, but am within the law of Christ, so that I may gain those who are without the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may save at least some. And I do everything for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share it along with others. The word of the Lord. Today we wrestle with the question, what does freedom have to do with love? And on the surface, we might think it's not a whole lot. But as Paul shows us, freedom and love are deeply intertwined. We step into a world where other people exist. And I know that sounds like a strange and obvious statement. Our lives overlap with the lives of so many other people around us. In this world where other people besides us exist, these people are very different from one another. People have different interests and different ideas. But maybe what becomes most obvious as we get to know other people is that different people have different struggles. Whether it's health, finances, relationships, or grief, everybody's struggling with something. And all struggles are ultimately connected to faith. Certainly, struggles can influence our faith, either causing us to doubt God's power and promises, or being strengthened in the faith during those difficult times. You know people who faced struggles and came out of whatever they were going through more assured of God's love for them. But you also know those who have abandoned the faith and blamed God when troubles came. So, if the people we've been placed into community with are people who have struggles, and those struggles have an effect on their faith, then certainly a Christian has the desire to help them bear their burdens. This is exactly what Paul is writing about here with the Corinthians. He's saying that Christians care deeply about the spiritual well-being of others. And as he does often, he uses himself and the other apostles as examples for Christians to imitate. He writes, "Instead, we endure everything, so as not to cause any hindrance for the gospel of Christ." The faith of another person is the most important thing they have. It's more important than our relationship with them, or the respect that they have for us, or even our own physical safety. Whether they protect their faith or don't, whether they don't even care about it, and discard it foolishly, we know just how important their eternal soul is. But how do you love when faith is at stake? What are you willing to give up for the sake of another person's spiritual well-being? And that brings us right to the issue of Christian freedom. What is Christian freedom, you might ask? Well, in Christ, we are released from the punishment of sin. Death died on Calvary 2,000 years ago. We've been released from the requirements of the law. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament ceremonial and civil law to set us free from the law's heavy, heavy requirements. And he's freed us from living under the Ten Commandments in fear. We are not just set free from sin and from death, though. We are also set free for a purpose. In Christ, we have the freedom to find joy in service to God and neighbor instead of serving out of miserable compulsion. We have the freedom to make choices in our lives when God's word is silent. That means we are not prescribed by God which way we should worship or what foods we can eat. We're not told which job we should take or which person we should marry. We all get to have our own opinions on how secular government should be run and how they should carry out their work, that broad task that God gives them to promote good and hinder evil. And we've even been given the freedom of how to spend our money and our time. But with this freedom comes responsibility too. Paul is not afraid to talk about freedoms. He's not afraid to talk about his rights. And the freedom that he talks about here is pay. Just because he is a servant of God, just because he is a minister of the word, does not mean he must forgo his pay. In fact, Paul is entitled to compensation. But he chooses not to take it. Why? Because he doesn't want people to get even a whiff of self-enrichment in his message. He doesn't want people to think that he's crafting some sort of spiritual fable to take their money. He is willing to forgo his right of compensation for the sake of the faith of those he's ministering to. The Lord has blessed us with many freedoms in Christ too. Whenever we read through the Old Testament worship laws and civil laws, inevitably somebody in class will say, "I'm so thankful I don't have to live that way." And I agree. But as I said before, freedom comes with responsibility. Listen to what Paul says. "In fact, although I am free from all, I enslaved myself to all, so that I might gain many more." Paul is pointing out that Christians are slaves to no one. We have been set free by Christ. But because we know we share this life with a lot of other people, and because we understand that our interactions with other people have an effect on their faith, either good or bad, Christians at times are willing to lay down their rights for the sake of others. And so let me give you a few examples of how Christians might do this. You get together with a friend in his garage to watch a few hours of college football and shoot the breeze every Saturday afternoon. You provide the beer, he provides the big screen. You do this almost every Saturday during the fall. But you notice a trend after a few weeks. Your friend is having more than a couple. In fact, by the time you go home every week, he's three sheets to the wind. You notice that this is becoming a problem in his life. Now, you have the right to drink beer and watch college football. There is nothing sinful about that. But are you sitting by and watching as your friend's problem grows? Are you maybe even enabling it? Would you consider going over the next Saturday without the case of beer in hand? It might involve having to answer for why you didn't bring it. And it will definitely mean that you are sacrificing your freedom of having a drink for another person. Or let's say you get tickets to go to a concert with friends. You know how your friends are going to dress. In outfits that show off their curves or six-pack abs and expose lots of skin. Now you've got clothes that would do the same. But is it worth spending a moment to think about how your attire will affect the people you're around at the concert. Might it lead people to the sin of lust? You have the freedom to dress however you'd like. But might that freedom be worth giving up in order to not lead others into temptation? Let's talk about one more. It's Thanksgiving dinner. You're sitting down to eat with extended family, some of whom you know have very different political views than you have. And you know you're sitting on a powder keg as you pull up to the table. You've seen the videos online, the ones of people flipping over tables and screaming at each other in the face, and the person who organized the whole thing walking away in tears. Again, you have the Christian freedom to have and share your opinions. But what does an argument with someone staunchly on the other side accomplish? I can tell you what it won't accomplish. Making that person comfortable in sharing their life's greatest worries and frustrations with you. Getting to have a deep and fulfilling conversation about the Savior together. This does not mean that you should never share your opinions. But aren't there times when you're willing to shut your mouth because something bigger is at stake? Something spiritual? Something eternal? What is Paul willing to give up so that even one more soul can be added to the ranks of heaven? He's willing to give up everything. And listen to what concessions he makes for the gospel. He says, "To the weak I became weak, so that I may gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may save at least one." You are free to live as you see fit in any way that God does not speak against in His Word. But you also exist among many other people, people whose faith might be strengthened or weakened by their interactions with you. In love, don't you have the responsibility to consider what is best not for you, but for them? And doesn't that same love drive you to lay down whatever rights and freedoms God may give you if it means leading them to God and not away from Him? Now, friends, if this sounds offensive to you, if you struggle with this idea of being willing to lay down your Christian freedoms to protect someone else's faith, then I think that this is something that you need to chew on a little bit more. The excuse, "I have the right to do it, and it's their problem if it affects them," that excuse only works if your neighbor's eternal well-being doesn't matter to you. So ask yourself, is this thing I like doing worth handing a person over to Satan for? But maybe more than that, I want you to see an example even greater than Paul's of someone laying down their rights to rescue another. You know that the Lord Jesus was without sin. You know that He lived His entire life without giving into temptation. He did it. He was the only person to earn eternal life in heaven for Himself. But the Father didn't beam Him up to heaven right away. Instead, Jesus handed Himself over to His enemies to die. He had every right to claim what He had earned, but instead, He made that lopsided trade with us. We get His righteousness, He gets our sin. He laid aside the rights and freedoms that were His, not just to inconvenience Himself, but to experience hell on behalf of a world full of sinners. His love for you led Him to give up everything for you so that you could be one. What does freedom have to do with love? Freedom has everything to do with love. In His love for us, Christ sets us free from sin to make us free to serve Him. Our love for our neighbor affects how we live in Christian freedom. At times, even going so far as to set aside our rights so that we can be exactly what our brother or sister needs us to be, God's voice in their lives. So go, dear Christians. Live in freedom and in love, motivated by Christ's freeing love for you. Amen.